Hello and welcome back to Commodity Conversations by the team at Mercado, the podcast where we keep you up to date with the latest trends, drivers and moves in livestock, grain and oilseed and fibre markets. My name's Olivia Agar. Thanks for listening into episode 264. This week we're chatting with Mark Symes, Wool Manager at G. Schneider, to get some really valuable insights into wool demand from our key customers in China and Europe, with factors like the war in Ukraine, disturbances in the Red Sea, cost of energy in Europe, and the lack of consumer confidence, all conspiring to create some pretty challenging conditions that are flowing right through the wool pipeline. Now, before I hand over to Mark and Rob, I must also mention that there was a solid uptrend in the wool market this week, which was led by the Merino section. So the lift in demand saw the Eastern Market Indicator improve 14 cents over the week. That's it from me today. I hope you enjoy this episode with Robert Herman and Mark Symes.
Well, thanks for the introduction, Olivia. And yes, it's great to have Mark Symes back on the Commodity Conversations podcast again. And one of the reasons we were really keen to have you on, Mark, is that we often comment a lot on the wool market, but usually we're talking about what we're seeing from here. But what I wanted to do today was try and dig in a little bit with some of your insights from what's happening overseas. So welcome along, Mark.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you listeners.
Well, I think it's fair to say that the wool market is really in this sort of, I don't know, it's in some sort of hiatus where not much is happening. There's not much excitement about it. There's in fact a lot of question marks over it. Can you just go through a couple of the things that you're hearing from your overseas customers, Mark?
Yes, Robert, I agree. The market's in, compared to pre-Christmas, where we had a fair bit of optimism and enthusiasm, particularly coming out of China. As you know, our base is in Europe, where our parent company operates and our commercial team. And we're hearing a much different story this side of Christmas to what was portrayed, from the Chinese activity pre-Christmas. But having said that, the China activity is actually slowed. Also, speaking to a range of exporters who deal in large volumes in China, the landscape has changed dramatically there as well. But in Europe, particularly the war situation with Ukraine and both the disturbance that's happening in the Red Sea and the Suez Canal is more directly related to wool shipments. So that's causing problems. It's adding another 20 days to a journey for a container of wool to get to its destination. So therefore, it obviously has financial impact in terms of cash and carrying the wool before you get paid on its arrival. So obviously, the war in Ukraine is having an impact in terms of the cost of energy, electricity, petrol, gas, forcing a downturn in production, particularly for us as wool producers or wool processors, I should say, of wool top. It's affecting the cost of energy that we apply in the mill, which is therefore, you have to make a decision on a downturn in terms of production to keep your head above the water.
Are you also feeling pressure from the consumer end? Because I imagine, we know that wool trades a lot on confidence, consumer confidence. When the GDP output in the Northern Hemisphere, especially Europe, is going well, wool seems to go well. Is that lack of consumer confidence translating back through the mills as well?
Yeah, it is, Rob. It's a definite problem. Inflationary pressure, as we've seen here in Australia, is happening all over the world, and also in Europe. It's altering consumer behaviour. Where they're taking care of necessities first, and then it becomes a needs and wants scenario. So you look after what you need specifically, which is food and power, electricity. All the essentials to run a home, and then your wants, which are your consumer goods, clothing and things like that, which are things that's affecting the pipeline dramatically from a consumer behaviour point of view. It's affecting big brands. Big brands are experiencing downturns in because of consumer behaviour. So this affects their budgeting and planning for their wool product lines also.
So I was listening the other day to some economic outlook, and I think it was the Australian Treasurer was questioning whether we're going to end up with a soft bottoming out of the economy. There was questions about that. But I imagine all this makes it difficult for people to manage their inventories and requirements and their ordering books, it'd be a difficult job all around in the processing sector when demand is impacted like this.
Oh, most definitely. It creates delays all the way down the pipeline, all down the supply chain. So, you know, if we've got retailers delaying taking delivery, delaying payments, that affects the weavers, affects the spinners, affects the knitters, and then affects the next stage, which is the top maker or the scourer or the carboniser. So, and all that has all those delays and issues with financing and so on, you know, obviously all get passed back to the grower.
Now, you did mention China briefly, and we can't not mention China when we talk about the wool market. I mean, they're still by far our largest customer. And coincidentally, China relies mostly on Australia for its wool as well. But I imagine their economy is having impacts on the wool market too, Mark. There must be, are they looking for new markets for their product as their economy tightens?
Oh, most definitely. You know, from an export point of view, they're targeting, you know, they've become one of our major competitors in Europe, you know, knocking on all our brand partners' doors, offering wool at discounted prices, and because they have the volume. As you mentioned, you know, the Chinese economy has stalled, which again changes consumer demand and consumer behaviour. You know, higher levels of unemployment. And also a large thing for the greasy wool market is that smaller than usual quantities for the Chinese uniform contracts, which have just been recently negotiated, you know, that's having an effect in the marketplace also. So there's not so large volumes being required, therefore, you know, putting pressure on the market.
So we know China is an ongoing big impost on the market for positive and for negative. But the other C word is COVID. And I think we saw that it impacted on the wool market in a lot of strange and different ways. What are you seeing now as the recovery post-COVID?
Well, you know, early post-COVID, the early signs were good. Coming out of the COVID period, online shopping became the norm and it was quite a successful period for a lot of the retailers and right through the supply chain. Everyone was experiencing better times than what we're seeing now. But post-COVID, you know, there's still a reluctance to travel, particularly out of China. Chinese don't seem to be travelling as much, resulting in a downturn in retail sales in Europe and the US. We don't see shopping sprees or shopping trips to New York, where they acquire some of the popular brands at the retail end. We're no longer seeing long queues at the brand stores in Europe also. So, you know, it's had a fairly significant impact in consumer behaviour.
Now, today we're lucky to have Mark Symes on Commodity Conversations, and Mark is has been on before, and we really appreciate your time, Mark, and you're the wool manager for G. Snyder Australia, based in Melbourne here. I want to just dig a little bit into, we know that wool operates in the fashion market and fashion changes. And I don't want to sound like I'm an expert and know what I'm talking about here, but I do know things change. So the younger generation has a different focus, you know, looking at, and we hear a lot about that active wear. There's less people going to work. So I'm hearing also there is less suiting and formal wear. How's that all playing out on the wool market now? Is it something that the wool market and the supply chain deals with easily, or is it a challenge?
Oh, it's very much a big challenge, Rob. The changes in fashion and for the reasons that you mentioned, we're living in a less formal society these days. The need for suits and gowns for formal functions has changed. You know, we see it here in Australia. Even, you know, recently my daughter got married. It's more of a cocktail style wedding rather than a sit down wedding with suits and ties and ball gowns. It's just a very casualised attire, which is really something that, you know, I recently attended a Xenia function last year where they talk about the casualisation of the wool industry. And I think that's what we're seeing. You mentioned the leisure wear situation. You know, we're seeing, you know, some amazing products being developed. But at the end of the day, it requires a commitment from the brand partners to use more wool and create more wool product lines. But unfortunately, the recent fairs and catwalks are displaying a desire to use linen has become the fabric of choice, which could affect the wool market. And I think we are seeing it affect the wool market, and it may have an effect for 12 or 18 months. Things are fairly slow, and we're getting expressions from our commercial team constantly that the pipeline's full. It's very difficult to convince people to use wool in their product lines because fashion's the dictator of what happens after they've been displayed on the catwalks.
Now, it's a pretty somber market outlook for wool at the moment, and I thank you for it, Mark, because it's very good to have somebody who's constantly in touch with those customers overseas. But it is a bit depressing right now. But the quality assurance programs, and your company has been at the forefront of that with Authentico. Are they impacted as well?
Oh, most definitely. They are impacted, but also there's a glimmer of hope there as well. In Europe, they're creating new laws or pushing to create new laws to stamp out greenwashing, which is a practice of saying something but not actually having the scientific data or detail to support the evidence of what you're saying in terms of marketing a product. So it's getting tougher. They're getting tougher on the retailers and the supply chain to prove the traceability or the provenance of wool. We feel as though we're at the forefront with, as you mentioned, with the Authentico program, the Authentico Integrity Scheme, which is also going to encompass, I think, Textile Exchange are already exploring and we're already getting expressions of interest from brand partners for regenerative agricultural practices that people are involved in. Our brands are very interested to learn about Australian farming and how Australian farmers improve the land that they farm and grow wool on. So I think this is the next phase. It's another layer of certification, unfortunately, but it's an insurance policy for the brands when they're questioned and have to prove the provenance of their product.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Mark, and I know we've got a lot of wool producers in Australia, a large percentage of wool producers who really take their job of producing and supplying wool seriously. And we've got Wool Producers Australia who've produced documentation. Trust in Australian wool is a really good product that they distribute widely. But at the end of the day, these producers are going to have to be rewarded for what they do, Mark.
Yeah, and that's the change in the dialogue that we're working hard to get the message to the brands that everything comes at a cost. It's a user pays world, unfortunately. And if you want layers of insurance, or if you want an insurance policy, you've got to pay a premium for it. So to have that insurance cover, that's sort of really what it's all about is providing a level of assurance to the wool producer that if they were able to enter into any form of long-term contract or a commitment of circular production to a particular processing or brand partner, that there is that investment that is put back to the grower to keep doing what they do, and that's produce the best wool in the world and provide the best conditions that the wool's grown in.
Well, I know you're a great advocate for Australian farmers, Australian wool producers, Mark. We've been talking about this for a long time, but I guess the important role you play in connecting with the customers as well. We've just got a taste of that today, so I really thank you for your time. We look forward to catching up with you again, and I'm hoping that the next time we catch up, we can have some positive news about where this market's going. But hearing you tell it as it is today, Mark, is really valuable. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Rob. And, I know it's not the best news, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. And we've as collective and we've got to stay positive and keep pushing forward, not looking backwards. So I think, we will see better times ahead. And particularly for the next generation farmers, we've got to encourage them to stick with it. And science has become the friend of the new generation farmer also, and that's something that I believe that will keep them interested and engaged in the industry.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, Rob, for the opportunity.